What's up, everyone? I want to tell you about a car that you are going to love. Check it out. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, I love that, available dual wireless charging pads ensure that you can take on any adventure. So let's say you're ready to take the family on a camping trip or something like that. The Santa Fe is perfect for you. You've got all-wheel drive. You can load everyone up in the third row. It's time to start being adventurous, and you need the right car, and that's the Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
The hit Paramount Plus original docuseries returns.
The last time I saw Max, he looked at us laughing, and then everything changed in a blink of an eye.
My feeling as a detective is that he was murdered.
Yahoo Entertainment calls it a spine-chilling docuseries showcasing real-life tragedies.
What if it was your child who went missing?
We need to know the truth.
Never seen again. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
What a play! Can you believe this?
No, I can't.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Off to the races, and he stays on his feet.
This is going to go the distance.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Fantasy football has just been kind of weird through the first 3 weeks of the season. Running backs been a bit of a dud. Your top five running backs per game. Well, I guess I don't have to do per game, right? Saquon Barkley, Nick Chubb in full PPR. He's RB2. James Robinson, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and DeAndre Swift. He's played parts of two games, basically, and DeAndre Swift is still a top five running back. You also have Cordarrelle Patterson at 7, Jamal Williams at 8. So it's been a weird year. Over at wide receiver, it looks a little bit more normal. Diggs, Cup, Amon-Ra St. Brown. Two Dolphins are in the top five. Christian Kirk and Curtis Samuel. Okay, it doesn't really look that normal. And everyone feels like a bust right now. So we're going to talk about the fantasy football landscape a little bit. I'm Adam Azer with Heath Cummings and Dave Richard here on a Wednesday. Sorry still for my voice. I'm getting better. Thank you for the well wishes. I've got my Z-Pack, so I'm on my road to recovery here. What's going on, Dave? Fantasy football is weird. I know you had trouble with the trade chart this week.
I wouldn't say trouble. I just had to think it through a little bit longer than normal. And I even had to make an edit to it after it was published because just something that I put out there. Nah, it wasn't right. But I feel good about it now. And I hope everybody's making trades that makes them feel better about their teams. And if you're not making trades, if you're not even thinking about making trades, then you better be 3-0, or you better be loaded with a 2-1 squad, or even a 1-2 squad. Or otherwise, I'd say, why? Why not consider making a trade when you can help another team feel better about itself, and you can help yourself feel better? I'm not asking you to be a charity. I'm asking you to do something to try and help your team, other than, you know, hope that somebody that you pick up off the waiver wire is going to be a savior for your squad.
Heath Cummings, fantasy football is weird.
Yeah, and I'm gonna put together a very entertaining show. We're gonna help some people win some leagues. I do think we should start by just saying thoughts and prayers to the west side of Florida. We're gonna be thinking about you guys today. Fort Myers, Cape Coral, Port Charlotte looks like absolute devastation.
We've got friends over there.
Yeah,
people who work with us, people who help my family. So I'm with you all the way on that. And we're sitting here on the east coast of Florida, and you know, I've got a view outside from where I'm at, and it's cloudy and wet and windy, and that's nothing compared to, like, if you've never been through a hurricane before, you have no idea, but it's
right.
It's this huge storm. So if you guys need help setting lineups or something, let me know.
Yeah, good luck. Stay safe, everybody. Obviously, I'm in contact with some of my friends who are in that area, so it's scary, and hope for the best.
But I like what he said. He said, let's help people win.
That's right. That's what we're going to do. We are your daily diversion, right? So we'll talk buy low, we'll sell high. We're going to do the fantasy feud later today.
Ooh, and I'm totally unprepared for that.
Oh, good.
Totally not prepared for fantasy feud.
Well, you shouldn't be. I mean, that's kind of the point.
He's going to roll me.
Yeah, so we'll do the feud and read some of your emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. What else was I going to say? Oh, yeah. This time last week, we were preparing for the Browns and the Steelers, and it was nauseating. Now we get to prepare for the Dolphins and the Bengals. And I'll tell you, I'll just tell you the stat of the day right now. Tua Tagovailoa has averaged 8.2 or more yards per attempt in all three games that he has played this year. Only three quarterbacks all season are averaging more than 8.2 yards per attempt. He's one of them. And only two quarterbacks last season averaged more than 8.2 yards per attempt. And that has been his floor so far. So if you think Tua was a little disappointing against the Bucks, against the Bills last week, he had almost the same exact passer rating as he did against the Ravens. And he had even higher yards per attempt. He just barely threw the ball. Only 18 pass attempts against the Bills. So he's on fire right now. All right, let's talk buy low and sell high. And, you know, I wasn't going to bring this up because I didn't want to make this show about us, but Dave and I made a trade, and I just think it's interesting what you could do right now if you have Jamal Williams or if you have Khalil Herbert. And we still have this this cloudy timeline on David Montgomery, but we think DeAndre Swift is going to miss the next two games, and then they have their bye in week six. So it's a two-week window maybe for – it could be more. Who knows? Could be less. But it's right now looks like a two-week window where Jamal Williams could be getting 20 touches or so. He's got the Seahawks this week. That's an amazing matchup. He might go out and win you a couple weeks. I don't know how I feel about him as a rusher, but still, it's exciting. So what do you do if you have these guys?
We know how you feel about him as a rusher.
Yes,
that's right. You've made it clear over the last 3 years how you feel about Jamal Williams. But, like, everybody loves Jamal Williams but he's, except for Adam.
No, I mean, but I love him in fantasy. I mean, I think he's an absolute must start this week. So I went out and I traded him for Gabe Davis, basically. I traded him and Lazard for Gabe Davis and Zamir White. Everybody thinks I got crushed in the trade. Dave and I made the trade. But I think I got the best player in the deal at the end of the day.
And
I didn't need Jamal Williams right now. So, Dave, I mean, you talk about your perspective of this deal, and guys that are short-term studs are interesting trade targets right now.
So, on the team that I acquired Williams and Lazard on, I was pretty loaded at wide receiver, and I had DeAndre Swift, and I could use the help at running back. And your original offer didn't have Gabe Davis in it. It had Courtland Sutton in it. And there was no way I was going to give you Courtland Sutton. And so I thought, I also had Michael Thomas and I had Gabe Davis. And I thought, well, there's no way he's going to do it for Michael Thomas. And I like Michael Thomas. And it doesn't sound like he's going to be on the shelf for long. So why not offer it back counter, if you will, with Gabe Davis in there? And I know that Gabe Davis is going to be really good, but we've also seen him miss a game. And in his first game back, he didn't do very well. So how explosive can Gabe Davis be the rest of the year in this offense? I'm sure he's going to have some smash games that's going to make this trade look silly. But I also think Lazard can be serviceable as a number three receiver. And now I'm covered at running back, especially for the next 2 weeks with DeAndre Swift. And like the reality of the situation is that the Lions have to say to themselves, okay, Swift is awesome, but we can't overuse him. And Williams is definitely somebody who can help them in those physical situations. He can kill the clock. And remember, we've talked about this, that offensive line in Detroit, humongous strength for them. And I think that's what's helping Jamal Williams play even better. Because you're right, he's, as far as talent goes, he's not one of the best in the league. But they love his energy. I love the offensive line. He knows what he's doing out there. And I didn't have a problem pawning Gabe Davis to give me a little bit of strength at running back to keep my win streak going. I think I'm 2-1 in that league.
Yeah, he had a huge week. Go ahead, Heath. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, I mean, I just think this all comes down to how big of a difference do you think there is between Gabe Davis and Alan Lazard?
Huge difference.
In draft season, I had them both in the 30s as boom bust number three wide receivers, and nothing that's happened the first 3 weeks of the season has really changed my opinion on that. You look at last week, I think they both get six targets. Davis had five in his first game. They both play with fantastic quarterbacks. They're both going to have exceptionally high touchdown rates. I think it's more likely that Davis has maybe one or two games where he has 100 to 120 yards, something like that. But for the most part, they're going to be 5 to 6, 5 to 7 targets per week, probably 40 to 80 yards. And if they score a touchdown, it's a good week. If they don't, it's not.
All right. So listen, I don't want to make it too much about this trade. My overall point, though, and I think you guys probably agree with this. If you have Jamal Williams and you feel like you don't need Jamal Williams, or you're 3-0 or 2-1, you feel like you're good, your running back depth is good or something like that, go to the DeAndre Swift manager and try to make a trade that's going to benefit you long term. And it could benefit him as well, or her as well, right? It doesn't. You don't have to fleece someone. I hope Dave and I made a mutually beneficial trade. But you can do the same thing with Khalil Herbert. If you don't need Khalil Herbert, go to the David Montgomery manager, or go to anyone who's struggling right now and see what you can get. Maybe something that helps you long term, because you know that's something you can do. You can help someone short term and help yourself long term. It's an idea right now, and we should say about Jamal Williams, it's not like he's completely without value when DeAndre Swift plays. He's obviously the goal line back. I gave away an asset for sure. I hope it helped me in return, but just something.
He's the highest scoring player in this deal, right? He's scored more points than all the rest of the players in this deal combined.
Sure,
probably.
Yeah, but that's helped along by Davis having one bad game and missing another.
And missing a game.
I made another trade last night where I gave Herbert up, and I don't know how I feel about it.
Oh, okay. Go ahead, real quick. What'd you get?
I gave up Herbert, I gave up Keenan Allen, and I gave up Mac Hollins. And this is a 14-team PPR. So Khalil Herbert, Keenan Allen, Mac Hollins. I got back Tyreek Hill and Brian Robinson.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
I've got this feeling that Khalil Herbert's
Yeah, you know what? I overreacted, I think. Because Keenan Allen and Tyreek Hill are similar. I would rather have Hill.
Yeah, I would rather have Hill, too. I think he's got more smash weeks to him.
Yeah,
Keenan Allen might be more consistent as far as getting around 15 PPR points per week. But I have this feeling that there are multiple internet doctors. I know it's not the real thing that say that it's a high ankle sprain for David Montgomery. And if that's the case, then he's going to be no bueno the rest of the way.
Okay.
And Khalil Herbert could beat the dude in Chicago.
Oh, man. Heath, I'm so sorry. I dropped Khalil Herbert in our league last week. I'm very sorry about that.
Who did we pick up?
For Zach Ertz.
Zach Ertz. Well, at least we got Zach Ertz.
We did. Well, yeah, we got a top like 7 tight end or something. But yeah, I'm sorry.
He's top
about
4,
that.
And he's one of the biggest sell highs that you could have right now.
Good. Let's get into sell high, buy low, and sell high. Who do you want to buy, Heath Cummings?
I want to buy Brandon Cooks. I believe. I mean, the volume is still there. Nothing's changed enough from the situation to make me think he's going to have a 40% catch rate or average 5 yards per target the rest of the season. The same guy he was playing with last year when he put up one of the best years of his career. There's already, I think, been 3 targets in the end zone that had produced 0 points, 0 yards, 0 catches, even though he did catch one of them and got carried out of the back of the end zone. Better days are ahead for Brandon Cooks, and he's dirt cheap.
You know who wouldn't get carried out the back of the end zone? Gabe Davis. He's too big for that, but... yes, it was very funny to see Heath trading DJ Moore for Brandon Cooks.
Did he trade with himself?
I know, exactly. It was very funny. Dave, who do you want to buy?
I want to buy Alvin Kamara. And this is just the great opportunity to get a running back who was, we'll call him a top 15 pick back in August, who's underwhelmed through 2 games. He also didn't play in a 3rd game. But he's still doing Alvin Kamara-like things when you watch him play. Number one, he's still getting – he got 7 targets last week. A lot of the targets were uncatchable. I think he dropped one of them. That sucked. But he's also breaking tackles. Hasn't had a monstrous gain yet. None of those 20-plus yard runs. But he's turning plays that should be 0 or negative yards into +6, +8 gains. And the offensive line, I'm a little worried about it. Jameis, I'm definitely worried about. But I can't help but think that this Saints offense has to get Kamara going. And I think that this isn't a bad week for them to try and do it. They're already acclimated over there across the pond in London, getting ready to play the Vikings. I think there's a window where you can get Kamara relatively cheap, certainly compared to where people draft.
Would you give up James Robinson for Alvin Kamara?
I don't think I'd do that. I think Robinson's value is super high right now. But if we're talking about, I'm looking for another running back, like Cordarrelle. That's how you pronounce it. Cordarrelle Patterson.
That's how you pronounce it, Cordarrelle.
This is
no. It's Cordarrelle.
Cordarrelle. Yeah.
No. Cordarrelle. That's why I said it right the first time.
Yeah.
Cordarrelle.
CPAT. Sell high on CPAT. Put somebody with him. Listen to Heath.
Cordarrelle Patterson. Okay. Sell high.
I can say Okwuegbunam, but I can't say Cordarrelle. Corduroy?
Yes.
Corduroy Patterson?
Yeah.
Maybe this is why he's blocked me on Twitter, because I can't say his name.
Okay. So Alvin Kamara for Dave, Brandon Cooks for Heath, and I'll ask you guys who you're looking to sell. But before I do that, let me talk to you about the Fantasy Football Today DFS show. Terrific DFS advice, FanDuel, DraftKings, whatever it may be. Tuesdays at 6 p.m. Eastern and Thursdays at 5 p.m. Eastern. You can watch it live on youtube.com/fantasyfootballtoday. That's where you can see all of our videos, all of our podcasts, by the way. If you're a listener and you want to see what we look like, don't judge me by the way I look right now. I'm sick. I slept on the couch 10 feet away last night. My hair is a mess, so don't judge me. I saw someone take a shot at my hair. I saw that. Not cool. But the FFT DFS show, you can catch it live on YouTube, youtube.com/fantasyfootballtoday at 6 p.m. Eastern on Tuesday, 5 p.m. Eastern on Thursday. And it's a podcast. So if you don't want to watch it, just listen to it. Download the Fantasy Football Today DFS podcast. I don't know if I'm supposed to say download anymore. I think that's kind of old school. Follow it, subscribe to it, whatever. Listen to it. All right, Dave, who are we selling?
Cordarrelle Patterson.
Yeah.
Did I say it? Yay. He's definitely one guy that I think you saw. I think Zach Ertz is another sell high, but you don't have to do it yet. I'm just worried that when DeAndre Hopkins comes back, that Ertz is going to lose his mojo and his targets and won't be nearly as good of a fantasy asset as he's been through the first few weeks. He's top four in PPR on a per game basis to begin the season. So I would lead off with those two.
Well, hold on.
I got another one if you want one more.
Give me one more, and then I want to expand on Cordarrelle Patterson, who is pronounced Cordarrelle and having an excellent year so far. So go ahead.
Cordarrelle. How about Najee? Coming off of back-to-back games with a touchdown, somebody's going to want him in your league. I don't think you should expect round one value on him, but I think that he's somebody that you should try and sell high on, or sell whatever. It might be more of a sell low than a sell high.
Yeah. That's the one, like, I would have to – you're still pretty high on Najee, right? Like, you got him top 12 this week, Dave?
I might. I don't know.
I'm not sure he's going to be a top 15 running back rest of season. Like, I think it's a sell low, but I would still be doing it.
I'm 14th on the trade chart.
Okay, can
amongst
I ask you a question?
Backs or amongst all players?
Running backs.
Would you rather have Jamal Williams or Najee Harris rest of season?
Najee Harris.
Same.
You said Jamal Williams. Did you mean Javonte?
No, I meant Jamal. I want to know just how low you were on him. You know, would you take a possible stud for the next 2 weeks and a guy who still has goal line work? Okay.
No.
All right. I'm just double checking.
And as for this week, he's taking on the Jets. So I think he can find the end zone again. He might have his best game of the year. He might even get you, listen to this, hold on to your hats, 15 PPR fantasy points. Wouldn't that be a delight?
Yeah, but what do you sell him for? I mean, what do you try to even get for Najee Harris? He's still an asset. I mean, the running back is so bad right now that he's in the same boat as, you know, James Conner and a bunch of running backs who are going to have the same type of work every week, and you hope they score.
Oh, sure.
Right?
So I would
Miles
try
Sanders.
I would go approach the fantasy manager that's got Kamara or Mixon or any other underperforming, underwhelming running back through the first 3 weeks of the season and try and package something up. And you shouldn't have to give up too much with Najee for one of those guys.
Okay, who are the difference maker running backs? I think that's maybe a good... Because I do feel like the landscape is there are a lot of guys in the same boat. You know, whether it's every week, it's just going to come down to who's going to score. Maybe. I don't know if you agree with this, but I feel like A.J. Dillon, Damian Pierce, Miles Sanders, probably Najee Harris may have fallen into this group. James Conner. You know, the touches might be the same. We can try to play the matchups, but I have a feeling it's going to come down to who's going to score. Who are the running backs, Heath? First of all, do you agree with that assessment? And secondly, who are the running backs that transcend that group? The ones that you really, the real desirables out there?
Well, and if it's the it's a question of, is it the ones who have so far or the ones who will? But I still say, if we're talking about moving forward, McCaffrey will be that guy. Taylor will be that guy. I think you have to say Saquon will be that guy right now. When he gets back, you would expect Swift to be that guy. Still hopeful that Austin Eckler will be that guy. And I would still think that Dalvin Cook will be, as long as Dalvin Cook's healthy. And then I think Kamara and maybe Mixon as well have fallen back into that if they score. I think Aaron Jones will be a difference maker.
Oh, man, you think Mixon is – I mean, I know Mixon has been so bad, but he's a touch monster. He and Fournette are getting a ton of touches. Do you think? I still hope. I'm still very hopeful for Mixon and Fournette.
It's just, I think for both of them, it's can the offensive line get any better? The Bucs do not have a rushing touchdown and rank 29th in the NFL in yards per rush attempt. Their offensive, Tom Brady has his highest sack rate since 2017. Like, both of these offensive lines are just not what they were last year, what we were hoping for them to be. And I think as long as that stays, and I have hope that Cincinnati's, because they have more talent, they just don't have, they're not cohesive yet. I have hope that Cincinnati's will improve as the season goes on. But as of right now, I think Mixon, Kamara, Fournette are all maybe you'd put them in a third group in between the difference makers and the guys who are going to need a touchdown to have a good week.
Nick Chubb, we've got to throw Nick Chubb in the difference makers. Right?
Yeah, Chubb's in the difference makers right now, for sure.
What about Javonte? Oh, did you say him with Kamara and Mixon and Fournette or no? Where's Javonte?
Yeah, I think he's back behind the Kamara, Mixon, Fournette group, but in the Najee group. And I'd rather have Javonte than Najee.
Okay. You see, at least he's playing well, right? I mean, at least he looks good, and we just need to know that he's going to have the role that we want. Whereas you watch Najee Harris, and it's like, oh, please gain 3 yards.
Right. He's got the role that we want, but he's not efficient with it.
Right.
And Williams is efficient, but he doesn't have the role.
Okay, so Heath said McCaffrey, Taylor, Barkley, Swift, Eckler, Cook, Aaron Jones, and Nick Chubb are the 8 desirables. Mixon, Fournette, Kamara are in the next group. Maybe Javonte might be in his own group, I don't know. And then a bunch of guys. Najee, James Conner, et cetera. I don't know. I mean, it's not like the rest of the... Oh, James Robinson. Where's James Robinson?
How can he not be in the first group?
I don't think he's in the first group.
No, he's right. I mean, a top 8 running back. I you know what he's been?
I mean,
he's been that good twice and now 3 times, basically.
Right. Yeah. I don't know how many more times he's got to prove to you that he's... I get it.
One.
He's not,
one
he's
more.
Not efficient.
No, okay, he's fairly... He's very efficient. What is he, 4.5 yards per carry, something like that? He's making some big plays.
I know, but you watch targets, him play, I think, he's not running as fast as other running backs around the league.
I think a high percentage of his yardage has come on 3 plays this season. But he's had 3 big plays, so that's nothing. Not nothing.
Yeah. All right. Well, he's going to come up later on in the show. Let's do some buy low or heck no. Buy low or heck no from the listeners. Kyler Murray, buy low or heck no?
If you can buy low. I don't know how low his value is right now. It's just... He's one of those second tier quarterbacks, I would say.
Yeah. All these guys I would buy low enough on, but I would not pay more than low end number one quarterback price for Kyler. I have very little hope that he's going to be a difference maker.
I outlined it on the Monday show, Beyond the Box Score. They are one of the least explosive teams in football. They are one of 7 teams that does not have a 40-yard pass play. Their longest play this year is 30 yards. This is the Cardinals I'm talking about. Okay. The air yards are extremely low for Kyler Murray. Do you think DeAndre Hopkins and maybe Rondale Moore, who's got some big playability, do you think they solve these problems for the Cardinals?
They at least give you the hope that they might, but DeAndre Hopkins, the last time we saw him, was not the DeAndre Hopkins that we've come to know and love. He was a 20% target share guy. So I certainly don't think that's a guarantee. It's just, and I think it would be interesting to Azerstat it and just give us a breakdown of Kyler Murray's career passing stats with DeAndre Hopkins healthy and without DeAndre Hopkins, because he's just not been a good passer when he hasn't had Hopkins.
Huge difference. And you know what? He's been so far one of the least efficient green zone inside the 10-yard line,
which has always been his problem when Hopkins hasn't been there.
Right, so that could help. I mean, he's got maybe the second most catches there, or third most passes there, or something like that. And he's completing, I think, 23% of his passes in the green zone. And you're going to throw more when you keep throwing incompletions, right? But I think Hopkins could help with that. But he's still 3 weeks away. 4 weeks away, really.
I think the game script is going to be the same for every Arizona Cardinals game this year. Their defense stinks. They're going to trail. Kyler's going to have to play the Russell Wilson role and go full hero ball. And I think that'll lead to good numbers. I think he's better than most of those 2/3-tier quarterbacks. You won't confuse him with Hurts or Jackson or even Mahomes, but he's behind those guys.
Okay. Buy low.
More hope for Kyler once he gets Hopkins, or Brady once he gets Evans and Godwin on the field.
Oh, probably a little more for Brady. But until that happens and all those guys are back for Brady, Kyler should fetch more in a trade. Or you should expect to pay a little more for Kyler in a trade.
All right, buy low or heck no on Joe Mixon. And should mention, he's got some tough matchups coming up, although Baltimore has not been tough. But Miami this week, then Baltimore, then New Orleans. New Orleans hasn't been as good as we thought. But anyway, buy low or heck no on Joe Mixon.
I don't mind buying low. And it's relatively low.
I'd rather have him than Najee. He's right in the same boat as Kamara. So, yeah, buy low.
Would you give up Christian Kirk for Joe Mixon?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Buy low or heck no on Austin Eckler?
If you can buy low on Austin Eckler, you should. But I don't think anybody's giving him up.
You want to know the trade I saw yesterday? Someone emailed me. Oh, it was so outrageous. You know what? Okay, it wasn't that outrageous, but it was Clyde Edwards-Helaire for Austin Eckler.
Oh, that's outrageous.
that's insane.
That's pretty wild.
I mean, Clyde, you got to take Eckler.
Clyde is the sell high.
Clyde's the sell high? Okay. All right, so Mixon and Eckler, I guess you still value them as, let's say, top 20 overall players.
Yeah.
Definitely. Overall, yeah, I think they'll probably fall in there.
Would you take them ahead of Mixon and Eckler? Would you take them ahead of your favorite quarterback, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts, whoever it may be?
Yes.
I don't know if I would. It's harder for Eckler than it would be for Mixon.
Yo, you're more concerned about Eckler than Mixon?
No, I think I'm more concerned about Mixon than Eckler.
Okay, yes. Me too.
I've been digging around James Robinson stats for the last 5 minutes. Maybe we should talk about him a little
bit. We will. He's in the notes.
Yeah. Okay.
Buy low or heck no on Jerry Jeudy, who, by the way, has a 12.3 ADOT, average depth of target. That's pretty high for a slot receiver. He's in the slot in 2/3 of his snaps. His ADOT's 12.3. Cortland Sutton's is 12.6. But buy low or heck no on Jerry Jeudy coming off a terrible game against the Niners.
Yeah. That little noise that Heath made it summarizes how I feel as well.
Like, there's this whole wide group of wide receivers. Like, I would much rather buy low on Brandon Cooks than Jerry Jeudy, but I would consider buying low on Jerry Jeudy for like a bench piece, whereas I probably wouldn't do that for Allen Robinson and Darnell Mooney. So he's not completely fallen off the face of the earth like some wide receivers have, but again, another guy who a large percentage of his productions come on one play, and it was kind of a little bit of a fluky play.
I'm going to go the other way than you guys on this. I am going to call Jerry Jeudy a good buy low, and that's just because I have more faith in Russell Wilson than most people do. A lot of people think he is just not good anymore, and he has not played well. There's no question about it, but I think Cortland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy are going to dominate targets here. We're really talking about one bad game for Jeudy because he was good in week one. If you took away that big play, he would have had a solid week one, startable week one, and he can make big plays because he's super fast. He can run away from people. And in week two, he was bad. Wilson was really bad. They were not in sync. I guess I have more faith in this team improving going forward than other people do. I know people are very down on them. So to me, buy low on Jerry Jeudy is basically the same question as buy low on Russell Wilson. If you think Wilson's a buy low, then probably Judy's a buy low. If you don't, then I guess I'd be nervous too. Breece Hall, buy low or heck no? Is now the time to get Breece Hall?
Yeah.
I agree.
He's awesome. The one concern is that Zach Wilson's not going to throw to his running backs as much as Joe Flacco has. But I still think that as the season goes on, Hall's going to take a bigger and bigger share of the workload. And he's really, really good.
Okay, but how do we compare him to... Let's put him on the Najee Harris scale. Najee or Hall?
You should get something with Hall for Harris, but I think they're in the same group rest of season.
Mm-hmm.
They're close. They're close.
Dave, AJ Dillon or Breece Hall?
I have Hall over Dillon.
Wow. Okay.
The problem. So here's the thing. If the Jets defense were good, I think I'd feel a little bit better about Hall as a rusher. Because I think the Jets defense is bad, and their offensive line's bad, I almost wonder if they fall into the same trap that Arizona falls into, where they have to just Zach Wilson's going to throw a lot more. And by just the nature of having to throw a lot, he'll find his running backs. And Hall played more last week. He's definitely more efficient than Michael Carter. Love that he has 4.0 yards after contact per rush so far this season. Plenty of a few explosive runs, only three of those. But over 40% of his runs have resulted in 5-plus yards. That's really good.
This is really insane. But Najee Harris has 50 touches. Breece Hall has 34. Najee's scored 2 touchdowns. Hall scored 1. But Hall has still outscored Najee in fantasy points per game this year.
Well, so many catches.
Right.
He has 3 more catches.
That's it?
Just 3 more.
Oh, wow.
He has turned 13 catches into 101 yards. Harris has turned 10 catches into 48 yards.
Wow.
So what would be the ways that Breece Hall really loses out on that catch volume? Well, if the defense plays better for the Jets, that could help. Zach Wilson running more? Because Flacco, I mean, he's getting rid of the ball as fast as he can because he's a scaredy cat of getting hit. Not that Zach Wilson's going to love getting hit, but he can move more. Maybe the movement helps Breece Hall a little bit. Maybe they have some designed rollout, dump passes or screens or what have you to Hall or to Conklin for that matter. The track record for Zach Wilson says that he's more of a downfield thrower. So that makes me a little nervous about Breece Hall, but I think he's the more talented running back. He'll never be the only guy in that backfield. Carter will get some work, but I do think Breece Hall just has some efficiency to him and could have some breakout games because of his speed, his ability to make plays after contact, and for whatever it's worth, his ability to make plays after the catch.
Okay, just one more news update. One news update here that just came across. Todd Downing, the offensive coordinator for the Titans, wants to get Treylon Burks more involved. They want to get the ball in his hands, and maybe he's a buy super low because he's been really bad through 3 games.
He might be on the waiver wire.
He might get dropped. I'll check his roster percentage. It was in the 70s before last night. I'll see what it is now. But before I do that, finding the perfect suit is impossible, but finding a suit that's perfect for you is simple. Thanks to Indochino. I've talked about Indochino for years now. I'm a huge believer. I love Indochino. You are going to love it too. If you need a custom suit at an affordable price, okay, some people pay like $1,000 for custom suits. Not even close to that if you go to Indochino. They have stores around the country, or you can go to Indochino.com and use the promo code FFT to get $50 off your purchase of $399 or more. What you're going to do when you go to Indochino.com is you're going to choose your favorite fabric, customize every detail of your suit to find the look that is perfect for you. You submit your measurements online, or you can get measured in store, and you can get a custom made-for-you fit at an incredible price. And fall is here, and they've got new colors and premium fabrics, and you're going to be in style all season long. And it's not just suits, by the way. They have great shirts, and it's menswear, okay? So a lot of different things that you can get. But designing a suit is really fun. And having a suit that you love, that you made, basically, that fits you perfectly, that you look great in, you're going to want to wear it to every function. Trust me, it's worth the price, and this price is terrific anyway. Design your perfect suit with Indochino. To get $50 off any purchase of $399 or more, use the promo code FFT at Indochino.com. That's Indochino.com. Promo code FFT. Fellas, we are way behind schedule. We have a ton of great stuff to get to in the show today, so we're going to go a little faster here. Sorry for that. But I want to cover a lot of content. It's time for Sell High or Heath Sigh. Heath Sigh means no, don't sell high. Does that make any sense? No, but it's a funny segment name. Sell High or Heath Sigh on Curtis Samuel.
Sell high if you can get anywhere close to what he's given you so far this year, which is a top 12 wide receiver. I think he'll be a borderline number 2 rest of season. I would still rather have Brandon Cooks than Curtis Samuel.
All right, Dave, sell high or Heath Sigh on Ezekiel Elliott? And before you say yes, isn't he going to be really good when Dak Prescott comes back?
He might be, but I also think Tony Pollard's going to continue to take work away from him, and he's going to be a touchdown needy running back. And the schedule isn't exactly a cakewalk for him after this week. I think what you do with Zeke is you keep him for one more week. You start talking trade now. Don't pull the trigger on the trade yet. And then after this week, go with confused.
Gilbert.
What? What's the matter?
Ezekiel Elliott was drafted as a low-end number two running back. Mm-hmm. He is currently RB39 on the season. Why is he a sell high? He's been worse than we drafted him to be.
Well, perception is everything. He's coming off a good game. And right. Dak's coming back, so there's optimism there. Washington's on the schedule this week, and he wasn't drafted that way, right? He was actually drafted in round three. I don't know where he ended up after the Tyron Smith injury, but a lot of people loved Zeke more than we did.
But you were selling him for less than you drafted him for.
Yeah, I think people might consider him a buy low. I don't even know. All right, better question then.
I'm looking up where he was drafted right now. He was early round four. He's in Heath's eye. There it is.
Okay, so
he was taken in early round.
That means don't sell high on Ezekiel Elliott.
I don't know how you could. He's been worse than
but again, like, perception is reality. I mean, maybe it's a sell low. Oh,
I don't get the feeling that perception is that you can get a lot for Zeke right now.
No, you're going to have to pair something with Zeke to move up, but that's the point, is that try and work your magic to turn him into one of the running backs that we've talked about. Kamara.
Every time I run a Twitter poll, Derrick Henry. 70% of the people want Pollard over Zeke rest of the season.
Right. Oh, his value is in the tank still on the trade chart. It didn't move up just because he had a good game this week, and it probably won't move up next week either. He's outside of the top 24.
Who'd you rather have rest of season, Miles Sanders or Zeke?
Sanders. How about this one?
Like, they're in the flex pile with 17 other running backs.
Who would you expect to get more for in trade, Clyde Edwards-Helaire or Zeke?
Clyde.
Agreed.
Who would you rather have rest of season, Clyde or Zeke?
Also Clyde.
Probably Clyde.
This is what I'm talking about. This is that huge group of running backs. are they going to score? Clyde's work has been, his touches have been so low. I mean, he'd said, he's the ultimate sell high. Okay, Marquise Brown, sell high or Heath Sy?
Sell high.
I think you try and sell high, but you might want to wait. Almost the same thing as Zeke. Because he should be in line for double-digit targets each of the next three games.
Okay, two in a row for him with double-digit targets, Marcus
Right,
Brown.
So make it five in a row.
Damian,
so I would still try and trade him away before the time when DeAndre Hopkins comes back, before their seventh game. But he's still going to have some good numbers the next few weeks.
Damian Pierce, sell high or Heath Sy?
Heath Sy.
What's the difference between him and Zeke? Like, right? I mean, who would you rather have?
He's more exciting. He's got a better chance to be the lead back and every down back for his team.
You'd rather have Pierce than Zeke rest of season?
I would.
Slightly, but I think Pierce is in that same group. I don't. Again, he's another guy who got pushed up into round three, round four, right at the end of draft season. He's not been that good, and I don't have much hope that he's going to be.
All right. I think I've got some hope that he can be pretty good.
James Robinson time. James Robinson, sell high or Heath Sy?
Sell high.
I think you sell high if you can. Heath really nailed it. He's had the majority of his numbers on just a handful of plays. He is 66th among qualifying running backs in percentage of plays that resulted in 5+ yards. 28% of his plays have been good for 5+ yards. 9.8% of his plays have been good for 16+ yards, but I don't know if that keeps up. I do like the Jacksonville offense. I do think that they are going to be good all season long, so I don't want to give James Robinson away. But right now, I think the world kind of views him as a top 12 running back. And if you don't think he's going to keep that up and you think he's going to fall back into that range of touchdown or bust running backs, then you got to get him off your team now. Try and turn him into Kamara or Mixon, something like that.
I'd aim for Aaron Jones straight up.
Aaron Jones is in that group too.
Okay. Yeah, earlier I said that he's been this good basically every year. It's a little deceiving. He definitely was as a rookie. He was a top 8 running back. Last year, you really have to look at, you know, the games where he actually got the work, because Urban Meyer was jerking him around. When he got the work, when he got the work, he was very good. And this year so far, he's been very good.
33.3% of his runs have resulted in zero or negative yards.
Yikes.
That's,
I think Mixon's probably got a stat like that too, by the way.
I mean, I think Kenyon Drake has more, Let's see. You want to know what Mixon's is? I'll tell you.
Yeah. How about one or fewer yards for Mixon? I think there's at least 17 carries of that.
Mixon's at 29.3. Ugh. Not as bad as James Robinson. So what's the difference between them? Touchdowns.
Yeah. Well, also catches. I mean, Mixon has the catches, though, and Robinson, I think, has six targets this year, or six catches. I think six targets.
Mm-hmm. One of them for a touchdown.
News and notes. Here we go. Myles Garrett has a strained shoulder and biceps. After a car accident. He's questionable for week four, but thankfully not a serious injury there for Myles Garrett. They're at Atlanta this week. Amon-Ra St. Brown cannot say that he's a certainty for week four, but his ankle injury doesn't seem serious. Amon-Ra St. Brown doesn't have a long-term issue. Tua Tagovailoa is questionable. We're about to talk about that game. Big loss for the Bengals. Defensive tackle DJ Reader could be out more than a month with a knee injury. They gave up 2 yards per carry to Jets running backs in the first half. Reader got hurt late in the first half. And then Hall and Carter, on very limited work, averaged 6 yards per carry in the second half. But the Bengals' run defense has been terrific. They will be without maybe their best run stuffer. I don't know if he's up there. He's very good.
He's very, very good.
Sterling Shepard's out for the season. Would you rather have Wandale Robinson at 7% roster percentage, or Kadarius Toney at 38%, or someone else, or nobody? Heath?
I think I've gone back and forth. I think I would lean Wandale right now, just because I think it's possible that all that's holding him back is injury. And for Toney, it might be slightly more than that. Wandale was chosen by this group, so I think he may get the first shot. I would like to stash both.
Okay, and they both have a chance to play this week against the Bears. Jets left tackle George Fant is on IR. So that's both of their starting left tackles. Actually, all three of their starting left tackles, basically, on IR. It's crazy.
One was Becton, who they moved to right tackle, but basically their top three tackles.
Right. Buffalo signed cornerback Xavier Rhodes to the practice squad. They need some help in the secondary for sure. Chargers are hoping to have Keenan Allen and center Corey Linsley back this week, and not clear on J.C. Jackson, their cornerback, who's only played one game so far. Sean McVay said he would have gone back to Cam Akers after that goal line fumble, but all they had to do was take a
knee.
That's
another buy low. Cam Akers is another buy low.
Pittsburgh safety Minkah Fitzpatrick is in the concussion protocol. They have the Jets this week. We're going to take a break. When we come back, it's that theme music you've been waiting for, Thursday Night Football. We'll be right back on Fantasy Football Today.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Here we go, Dave. Miami's at Cincinnati. All right. Stat of the game, I already gave it. Tua Tagovailoa absolutely crushing it in yards per attempt. He's second in the NFL behind Jalen Hurts. 8.2 or more yards per attempt in all three games. Bengals defense is very weird. They are second in the NFL in yards per attempt allowed. In fact, only Philadelphia is better. So that means the Eagles are number one in yards per attempt on offense and defense in terms of passing. That's crazy. But the Bengals have the second lowest yards per attempt allowed, yet they've given up the sixth most pass plays of 20-plus yards, sixth most pass plays of 25-plus yards. What they haven't given up are those big 30, 40, 50-yard pass plays. But look who they faced, Heath. Pittsburgh, Dallas without Dak, and the Jets. Here come the Dolphins. Let me just... Is this just a basically start everyone kind of game, except maybe not the Dolphins running backs?
Yeah, that's what it feels like. It's you're definitely starting the top two wide receivers on both teams. You're starting the quarterbacks as long as Tua is okay. You can't get away from Joe Mixon. I'm not starting the tight ends either. So I would start Chase Edmonds over Raheem Mostert, but he's just as a flex. And I'm not buying Tyler Boyd.
All right. I mean, is there anything to? Well, we got to talk more about Tua and Burrow, I guess.
Yeah.
But But in terms of the wide receivers, Dave, the top two on each team, just plain and simple, just start them both.
Start them. There's way too much upside. I think a case could be made for Boyd this week, too. I think the Bengals are going to crush them. I think the Bengals are going to pretty much have their way with them. This Dolphins defense played 92 snaps last week. McDaniel admitted on Monday that the team is just gassed after that game. They are now playing on a short week on the road. It's going to be really, really hard for them to put up a big effort. But McDaniel knows this. I originally was going to say, well, they're just going to slow down the game and they're just going to, you know, try and dominate time of possession with their offense. But they already do play at a pretty slow pace. So I don't know if that's necessarily something different for them. Maybe it's good that they've been playing at the slow pace because it's going to take the offense dominating playing time in order for them to be able to stay in the game. But I think when the Bengals are on the field, Burrow will be fine. I think the offensive line will be able to handle the Dolphins pass rush. And I think that it's all systems go for pretty much every Bengal. And Tua makes me nervous because he's going to see a lot of zone coverage. I don't think they're going to blitz him that much. And the secondary for the Bengals, I know they haven't played anybody amazing. They've played really, really well.
Yeah.
When they allow a catch, they usually don't allow a lot of yards after the catch. When they do, it's been to Tony Pollard on a little swing pass, or it's been to Zach Gentry on a just a funky play against the Steelers. So there's always the potential for it, and that's why you'll consider Tua as a starter, but he's not top 12 for me as we sit here right now.
All right. Who are some guys you have ahead of him? I mean, you wouldn't go like Mariota, would you?
I would not go Mariota, but when I look at quarterbacks that aren't named Josh, Lamar, Jalen, Mahomes, I'm looking for guys that can get me close to 25 fantasy points. I think Cousins, I think he can get there. I think Carr can get there. I think Rodgers against the Patriots can get there. Maybe Stafford. Maybe Wentz. That's one I'm not sure on. Maybe Russ. That's one I'm not sure on. So Tua right now is behind everybody I've named.
He's behind but Carson Wentz.
He could move up ahead. Even Carson Wentz, yeah. Holy cow. I might move. There's a chance I can move Tua ahead of Wentz and Wilson. And maybe Stafford, too. But he does make me nervous between the injuries he has and the way that this Bengals defense has played and the short week. There's definite upside with Tua. But I'm not sure he's going to give us another 6-touchdown game or even 3.
I'll take the under on 6. Heath, your thoughts on Tua and Burrow? And yeah, it is definitely worth mentioning that Tua is playing with a back injury. If he even plays, we expect him to play. But your thoughts on the quarterbacks?
Yeah, they're pretty, like, as bad as quarterback has been, as many quarterbacks as I have to be concerned about, they're pretty much starts if I have them. I'm starting both of them over Rodgers and Cousins and Kyler and Wilson and Brady and a bunch of guys that we drafted before them.
All right, so you higher on Tua at least.
And it's not so much that I necessarily think the concerns that Dave has about Tua are wrong. It's just I don't have any reason to feel good about the guys who have been even worse than him.
Anything to say
about
it?
Well, they certainly don't have the upside that Tua has.
Yeah, anything to say about Edmonds or Mostert here?
I'd rather not, but Edmonds is a fine flex.
You know, Mostert has actually out-carried him 2 straight games. Edmonds got the 2 goal line touchdowns. Nothing makes sense. And the Bengals' run defense, as I just mentioned, takes a serious hit. Do you like the, without DJ Reader, do you like the DSTs?
Not really.
Okay. And is Joe Mixon in your top 12 this week?
I'm pretty sure he is, yes.
He is, yeah, for sure.
Oh, no, he's 15th for me, but that could change.
Okay. I mean, he's just been so bad, but how can you get away from him? Okay, he's...
Okay, if he's running against a defense that's tired after playing on Sunday, then he should throttle them.
He's going to be started in almost every league. I'm not even going to get into it.
There's no way to talk somebody out of sitting Joe Mixon.
Starting Joe Mixon, yeah. Okay, and I guess we're going to sit Hayden Hurst after his dud last week. All right, Dave, that's Thursday Night Football. Who wins, by the way? Wait. Who wins? Who wins?
Bengals by 14.
I'm not betting against the Dolphins anymore.
I think the Dolphins are just a better team. I am worried about the... I think the Bengals win. I don't think the Bengals are going 1-3. I don't think the Dolphins are going 4-0. Bengals by 3.
I do think like the Bengals are playing on a short week as well. They might be tired too.
But they didn't. But the Dolphins were on the field for over 40 minutes in that game in the heat.
Their offense wasn't. Should be fresh.
Oh, the offense is very fresh.
What would be smart for the Dolphins to do is to try and run the ball better than they have all season and try and dedicate themselves to it. It kind of, I don't know if I can put Mostert in as a sneaky sleeper this week, but as far as DFS goes, wouldn't it make sense if he ended up getting more carries and they used him more than Chase Edmonds and they try and win the time of possession?
Play the music. Thursday Night Football's over. Go for it.
No, forget it. No.
There you go. All right. We've got a couple segments left. Our producer, Thomas Schaefer, came up with outlandish statements, things that are currently true on paper, but they're pretty outlandish when you say them. Some of it is sort of like a rest of season look ahead. So here's number one. Lamar Jackson will outscore Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers combined at season's end, which he is doing right now. How outlandish is that, Heath, that Lamar Jackson will outscore Brady and Rodgers combined?
Well, it is outlandish, extremely. But you know what's more outlandish is averaging 40.8 fantasy points per game. What's more outlandish is that he is a top five quarterback if you take away his rushing stats and a top 12 running back if you take away his passing stats. like what Lamar Jackson is doing is outlandish. And he's the type of talent that could do that over a full season. We've seen him do outlandish things over a full season. There will be some regression from the first few weeks, but I don't want to bet against him.
Sure. He had 25 fantasy points in week one. Talk about underwhelming.
And then the second part of this is, do you think Brady and Rodgers are going to be starting quarterbacks going forward? Top 12-ish.
Brady, yes.
Not this week, but Brady, when he gets Godwin back.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Number two, quarterbacks should be higher priorities in future fantasy drafts. Is that an outlandish statement?
No, it's a statement that Chris Towers said this offseason. And right now he looks like he was right.
Why is he right?
Because the Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson and Jalen Hurts and to a lesser extent, Patrick Mahomes give you such a huge advantage over everybody else. We talked about it last week when they showed five quarterbacks and three of them were elite guys and two of them were guys we didn't even draft in Carson Wentz and Tua. And nobody wanted to start those guys until week three. And then they started them in week three and they gave them nothing.
They were terrible.
And so like
they were not terrible. Tua was not terrible. They were terrible for fantasy. Wentz was terrible. I got to stick up for Tua. He threw 18 passes and torched the Bills.
I'm not discounting Tua. I'm discounting the idea that these low-end quarterbacks that showed up in the top five after 2 weeks are actually top five quarterbacks.
Yeah, but it could have. I mean, Tua could do it. I think Wentz is fool's gold. But I think it's also, Heath, it's that every quarterback from 6 to 12 has been horrible. Or, you know, basically.
The point is that the elite quarterbacks are giving you a massive advantage so far.
Yeah. Do you buy that?
There's another wrinkle to it, though.
Go on.
The wrinkle is that there are a lot of players who are underperforming at running back and wide receiver.
Yeah, true.
And so when we talked about this on Sunday. When we drafted, we're drafting players for upside, and that includes a ton of running backs and wide receivers. I don't have to name names. You know who they are because they're probably on your team and you're wondering what the hell's wrong with them. And just the quarterbacks are playing more consistently.
I would just say that as of right now, we look like bigger dopes for letting Josh Allen fall to round 4, Lamar Jackson fall to round 6, Jalen Hurts fall to round 6 than the people who were taking them in round 1 and 2.
Absolutely. What about Justin Herbert?
It's because of all the underperforming running backs and receivers.
Do you think Justin Herbert is going to enter into this elite discussion? Keenan Allen hopefully back this week?
Yeah, I think he can get close to it. He's in that top 6 for sure.
He can't do what Lamar and Allen and Hurts are doing right now, but he can be in the Mahomes next group.
Right, so he could be as high as 4th.
All right, outlandish statement, next one. These backup running backs will end the season as their team's top running back, as they currently are, Tony Pollard and Khalil Herbert.
Not outlandish at all. Not even a little bit.
I think it all, and for the Bears, is probably dependent on Montgomery's injury.
All right, outlandish statement number four. Geno Smith is a better fantasy option than Russell Wilson. He is currently better per game by almost 3 full points.
Geno's had 2 20-point games.
Yeah.
It's and ridiculous, and I don't believe it at all. He's terrible.
The difference between fantasy and reality, for sure. You've got to expect Russ to get it together here.
All right, I'll do one more. Cordarrelle
over
Patterson.
Over under 2.5 top 12 weeks from Geno Smith rest of season.
Over.
I will take the over. I think he can get 3.
I would take the under.
Cordarrelle Patterson is the greatest, youngest 31-year-old running back ever. He is really having a very good year. He is. There are some advanced stats that I don't even know what they mean, like success rate. He is number one among running backs, a minimum 20 carries in success rate. He is number 7 in rush EPA, expected points added per carry. He's number 2 in yards before contact per rush. And I went back. I watched a lot of his runs. I mean, he's getting 30 yards on one run without, you know, that's just a ballpark, without it being touched.
I can't believe
that helps that stat.
You're letting this slide.
What?
Like, Giants legend Tiki Barber had a 2,000-yard season as a 31-year-old.
2,000-yard total season. 2,000 total yards.
And you don't know what those 31. Guys have in common?
What?
They both got a late start to breaking out in their careers. It took Tiki a long time to be the main running back in New York. So he was an older back, but he didn't have all the wear and tear that a typical older back has. Same thing with Cordarrelle, who started his NFL career as a wide receiver and then spent a bunch of years just as a kick returner.
Well, what do you think? I mean, should we be? I just completely dismissed him after week one. I said sell high immediately, and I felt like a champion in week two when he split evenly with Algier, and they both stunk. He's not catching passes, but he completely dominated the carries in week three in a great matchup. Should we really be selling high on Cordarrelle Patterson or just ride it out?
I want to bring up how many snaps he had because I think he still split a little more than we'd like.
I would not sell high if the price is starter, but I agree with Dave. If you get Kamara for him, that's good.
Well, you got to throw in something with him for Kamara. Let's not be ridiculous. Cordarrelle played 60% of the snaps, technically 59%, 3 of 7 on 3rd and 4th downs. The Falcons were inside the 10 on one snap against Seattle and went to Tyler Algier, not to Cordarrelle Patterson. So if you think he's going to keep making these explosive plays, then by all means, start Cordarrelle, enjoy Cordarrelle. Am I saying his name right?
Yes.
Finally.
That is so funny. All right, listen, you said Clyde Edwards-Helaire is a big-time sell high. Who do you like better rest of season, Clyde or Patterson?
Patterson.
Okay. All right, guys, it's time for the first 2022 edition of the Fantasy Feud. Are you ready, Heath? Heath, you requested this segment, so I have a lot of faith in you to win, okay?
So Heath requests this segment, and now here we are playing. I had no idea we were playing.
You buzz it. It was in the email. You buzz in by saying your name. Here is your first category. The top 4 answers are on the board.
Heath buzzed in. He's ready to give an answer.
Top 4 answers are on the board. I'm looking for running back receptions leaders.
Dave. Austin Eckler.
That is the number 1 answer. Would you like to pass or play?
Definitely pass.
Okay, Heath, we need 3 more running back receptions leaders.
Breece Hall.
Can you just give me 1 second? I have to get the wrong buzzer sound queued up. I was on the Heath Psy segment of my mixer.
No Breece Hall.
No Breece Hall.
2 weeks with 11 targets, and he's not in the top 4 running backs in catches. That's does not bode well for me to advance.
He's 5th.
Javonte Williams.
Javonte Williams is correct.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't have thought of him until you said it.
Most of them in week 1, but Javonte Williams is correct. All right, 2 more. Eckler and Williams off the board.
What about...
That's the wrong music, but I'm trying to hurry you up.
What about Saquon Barkley?
Saquon Barkley is tied with Breece Hall for 5th.
Awesome. So I know my top 5 really well.
Yep.
It's the fourth that I'm having a problem with.
Yep.
And how many are left?
Two.
Two, right?
Two and three, actually, you need here.
Two and three.
Yeah.
I don't, I guess, like, I'll feel stupid if this is one and I don't guess it. So, Christian McCaffrey.
And Christian McCaffrey has only 10 catches, which isn't bad, but it's not top four. All right, Dave, the top four running backs in receptions. One is Eckler. We also have Javonte Williams. There are two left on the board. Your chance to steal.
Heath, do my arms in the air look like a blue horseshoe? Naheem Hines has to be up there. Naheem Hines.
Naheem Hines is the correct answer. And do you know the other one, Dave? Never mind. That's a bad clue.
What was the clue?
JD McKissick. JD McKissick.
Yeah. He did nothing in week one, and then he's picked up a lot of catches the last 2 weeks, but he wasn't at the frontal lobe.
All right, let's see. Dave, come on down, Dave. Heath, come on down. Our next category.
That's the Price is Right, you knucklehead.
Top six answers. No, because the two people come up to the center stage.
They don't say come on down on Fantasy Feud.
Oh, okay, they say, give me Dave, give me Heath.
There you go.
All right.
And then they play that barnyard music.
Top six answers are on the board.
Where's the top six answers have been on the board last round?
Yeah, true. Top six answers are on. Distracting me, Cordero. All right. I need our leaders in rushing yards.
Dave. Saquon Barkley.
He's number two. Heath, you have a chance to guess number one.
Nick Chubb.
Correct.
Yeah.
All right, I need four more. You want to pass or play?
Oh, what the heck? We might as well play.
There you go. All right. So, Heath, we've got Chubb and Barkley. They are one and two in rushing yards. Who are the next four? They're all running backs, no quarterbacks.
No quarterbacks.
It's running back rushing leaders. That's the category.
Okay. Christian McCaffrey.
That is correct. He's number five.
Chubb, Barkley, McCaffrey. I don't think it's him. This is dumb, but it might be right. No, let's go with James Robinson.
James Robinson is eighth.
Ooh, that was going to be one of my guesses.
I'm glad I got that out of the way for you. Jonathan Taylor.
Jonathan Taylor is correct. He's fourth.
So I have what?
You have Chubb, Barkley at one and two. You have four, Taylor, five, McCaffrey. You need three and six.
Three and six.
Two guesses left. Two wrong guesses left.
How about Dalvin Cook?
Dalvin Cook is 12th.
That was were you taunting me with the X there?
That's what everyone. That's what's going on. That's what Dave's supposed to be doing right now. He's supposed to go. X, you know, X.
What?
That's what they do. The competing team, they always go like this, you know, to psych you out.
Man, what the heck? Derrick Henry.
Derrick Henry is. Where is he? 13th, right behind Dalvin Cook. Okay, yeah. Dave, we need number three and we need number six. Who do you got?
Do I have to say the first name?
Only the first name will be accepted.
Cordero?
Correct. He's number three. Dave has already sealed.
I really don't know if that's the right way to say it, by the way.
It is the right way to say it. It's like Daryl with Core at the beginning.
No, I think it's Corderell.
I don't think so, Dave. All right. This is a big debate.
I will ask
my
friend with the Falcons.
And I will ask my friend with the Falcons. And
your friend with the Falcons.
Urbano. He's their like website guy.
Oh, I didn't know he was. That's
yeah, cool. He works for them.
I didn't know that's where he was working.
All right, so number one is Chubb. Two is Barkley.
Wait, why don't we take one guess for fun on number three?
Yeah, three Patterson, four Taylor, five McCaffrey, who's six?
Or six. I didn't know Patterson was three. Good gravy.
Khalil Herbert.
Khalil Herbert is six.
Good wow. Job.
Great All right, guess, listen, Heath. I'm doubling the points. I'm doubling the points. Heath, you have a chance to tie.
Not really.
It's 2-0, so this is worth two. Bring on Heath. Bring on Dave. Come on down. I'm looking for the top five answers are on the board.
Why don't you say big bucks, no whammies?
Top five answers are on the board. Carries inside the 5-yard line.
Is this running backs only?
I did not say that, did I?
Heath. Jalen Hurts.
Yeah. Jalen Hurts is tied for, there's a four-way tie for second. So he's not the number one answer. So Dave, you can try to guess number one.
I will guess Josh Allen, but I don't think that's right.
Pass or play, Heath?
I'll pass.
These guys aren't doing that inside the five-yard line. All right, Dave, you're up. So top five players and carries inside the five-yard line. We
and
have,
where was Jalen Hurts?
So there's one guy who has six, and there are four players who have four, and Hurts was one of those four.
Nick Chubb. Okay. Saquon Barkley. I want to get out of this as fast as possible.
Not Kenny Drake. Give me a real guess.
Chris Godwin.
A real guess.
Leonard Fournette.
All right, Heath, your turn to steal. Top five players and carries inside the five-yard line. All we have is Jalen Hurts so far. Who else?
Now, if he gets this wrong, I collect the points, right?
Yeah, you win.
Okay.
He collects the points even though I'm the only one who got a correct answer.
Correct.
That's right. Yep. That's the way that fantasy
plays. That's
why you play. That's why you don't pass.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Wow.
Jonathan Taylor. Dave wins. All right, Antonio Gibson has the most carries inside the five-yard line with six. Four players tied with four. Jamal Williams. Joe Mixon.
I'm glad I traded for that guy.
Khalil Herbert and Jalen Hurts. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for your time today. Hope you enjoyed the show. We've got starter sit for the AFC home games on Thursday, NFC home games on Friday. We have a live stream Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern to help you with your lineups. Thanks to Thomas Schaefer for an awesome segment of outlandish statements. For Dave and Heath, I'm Adam. Have a great day, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow on Fantasy Football Team.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Dan Orlovsky, are you still a Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback available in the draft guy?
I think the three things that make it stand out for me are, number one, I think his ball placement versus man coverage is the best in the draft. Every quarterback in the NFL is accurate. He's got the best on tape. Number two, most transferable stuff to the NFL. And then I think the third thing is pocket peace.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.